with stopping burial desecration. The other thing I wanted to know is, to get the federal money, what are the standards that SHFDI has to prove to the federal funds people? And what is that federal office? How does the federal government get informed each year to verify to their satisfaction that SHFDI has used last year's funds appropriately? What federal agency or office or person do you guys contact, or can we contact, regarding SHFDI's service to the community? And by what phone number or email address do you communicate with them? And would we be able to have access to that? Also, I wondered how SHFDI feels that they did with goal number 2 from last, your last 5-year goal plan, which is develop and maintain an effective survey and inventory process supported by an easily accessible database and GIS. I wondered whether you accomplished that, and where the data was imported from, and how thorough it is, and whether there were certain things intentionally or unintentionally left out of that database. The other question I had is, you had as goal 4 to strengthen the infrastructure for historic preservation in Hawaii. And I wondered whether that meant, you know, what that vision had looked like for you guys specifically, and did you make progress in it? Such as, you know, for me, I wondered if that would include answering phone calls and answering emails in a timely manner, specifically for people concerned about burials being desecrated. And I wondered how you thought that might change this year, and whether, or in the next 5 years rather. My next question is whether all of us that attend these meetings can request the recording of this meeting, and how we do that, if you could explain that part. And then also whether the federal agency that gives SHFDI money, whether they will also get copies of the recordings of these community meetings so that they can see the community feedback that you're getting. I'd like to know, I'm married to a Niihauan, and so a lot of my ohana obviously are very concerned about their burial desecrations on West Kauai as well. And we'd like to know who we can contact at the federal level if we feel that SHFDI and DLNR still do not provide adequate timely protection against burial desecrations. So that's about all for me. And I encourage everyone, though, to come to the next 4 meetings, too, because we should not be just telling them what they're doing wrong. We need to help them guide exactly how we want them to behave over the next 5 years. And we need to find out, you know,
okay,
how, what procedures we can request, or we can name the procedures to request that are, can be different in the next 5 years. Okay, mahalo.
Thank you so much, Allison Lewis, for your testimony. Next we have Kameonakane. Kameonakane, are you available to testify?
Aloha nui, yes I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you very well. Mahalo. Thank you.
Ano ai me ke lohi aka ko o wau no Kimiona Kane, kupa wau no ki aina o Waimanalo o aku. I'm Kimiona Kane. I live and reside in Waimanalo o aku. Born and raised here, 4th generation here on this aina here. I really want to share my appreciation with this body for providing the community an opportunity to bring their mana'o to the forefront. And I want to mahalo all of those wonderful speakers who had shared testimony prior to this. This is my first time attending this meeting. It's the first time it's been on my radar. And so I really am here just as a humble servant to learn from the processes that others have endured, to learn from the eha, to learn from the moments of joy that we can celebrate as we continue to work. Sorry, is someone else on? Okay. While we listen to the stories, the repeated stories, I think it's very evident that we have some work to do with SHFDI to establish trust and transparency within the communities. I do want to encourage that we really look at our elected officials to really understand how much more we need to support SHFDI whether it be funding, manpower, education, whatever it may be, to really have the department functioning at a higher level of service to the communities, but also holding Shipley accountable to letting the communities serve them as well. We have incredible resources available to us through the communities, and I think we haven't yet created relationships yet to allow us to really strengthen those understandings with many of us in the community who are practitioners of many things. So I think many people spoke to Ivi Kupuna, and while I sit in service to them as well, I do want to highlight other things that are important to my life. I'm a kumu of Uhahumbu Pohaku, rock weaving. I've been blessed by my kumu Kinohi Pizarro to carry on and perpetuate this practice, to weave wall back into function and to weave spaces back into life, starting with Loko I'a and Mala and Lo'i and Heiau. And, you know, this is a call out to our communities to make makaukau and become ready, as we are going to be called upon to reestablish these spaces. And so I'm really looking forward to Shipley's partnership in our communities, because what we know and have come to understand is many of our cultural sites have been erased from history. And yet here we are in 2022 with the capability, the know-how, the aloha for this aina to recognize that we can build new ones, and we must. And so I'm just here to learn, to listen, to appreciate and sit in gratitude that we have a forum like this to allow us to participate, and looking forward to the next four meetings where we can come back more prepared. I'll speak for myself, take a deep dive into the plan and really try and identify things that we can implement within our own community of Waimanalo. With our wonderful community members that are here present, those that have left us and those that have yet to be. So just want to share that mahalo, the appreciation, and, you know, for those that are in our communities to really start putting pressure on the elected officials as well, because I think it's clear that Shipley is not as staffed as they should be. They could use more supports, and we have a kuleana to make sure that we are preparing them to the best of our ability and partnership. So mahalo nui a oko, no ke hana kupono, no ke aloha, no ke aina, mahalo nui a oio.
Mahalo nui a oi e kimi o na kane for your very thoughtful and positive manao. All right, the next person that we are going to have to testify, Kalamai, I have to go back to my notes, will be Keomoku Kapu. Keomoku Kapu, are you online? Keomoku? Okay, mahalo, brother. You have 3 minutes. Mahalo.
Aloha mai kako. Keomoku Kapu keia no lahaina mai au. Mahalo for this opportunity to give my mana'o pertaining to the disarray that is going on statewide. And I hope that I can be a catalyst to fixing the ongoing situation that we face as Kanaka Maoli today, and that's the careship of our Ivi Kupuna. I've many years have been at the forefront, 8 of those years as a Barrel Council representative, and it all boiled down to I kind of understand the dysfunctional of an agency that is overwhelmed with the bureaucracy between private land ownership and real estate. And the reason why I bring that about is because, you know, I think one of the testifiers said it clearly before, is the money. It all boils down to money. And when it comes to the welfare and careship of our resources, it's always to a point where there's a bargaining chip that we have to endure when it comes to the betterment of our Ivi Kupuna that has been desecrated. And I bring these things up is because Lahaina, we've been on the forefront for a long time. And not just Lahaina, but throughout Maui, Kakanilua, Huimalama, Kakanilua, with Maui development that's happening on the east side in Waihe'e, Waikapu. But Lahaina really hit home, especially when we try to follow the rule. And when I say follow the rule, you have to go to the county to file an RFS. You have to go to the state to file a cease and desist. And you have to go to the Barrel Council to try to see whether or not you can remedy some kind of solution to stop a pipeline that was exempt to put in a 2-mile, 8-inch and 12-inch pipeline without any review from SHPD or the county. So basically, that's what basically came down when in Lahaina, December of last year, 5-hour wahine jumped in a pipeline construction to stop the desecration of ongoing iwi kupuna that is imminent in the area of where we live. And the reason why I bring that up is because we have to resort to those kinds of things when we have no other remedy when it comes to the state and the county doing their fiduciary duties to make sure that everything is transparent. Things are not transparent here. And I don't think things are transparent throughout the state. And I hope that this body that is recommended or required to put together some kind of solution to the ongoing abuse and desecration that is happening in our Kohawaii Pai Aina, that something needs to be remedied immediately, or else the only result is going to happen is more people going to start being a little bit more proactive and stop doing what they feel is pono to do, especially for my wahine and my ohana that was forced to jump in that pit and stop the development. And now we're getting sued. But hey, that's the cost. That is the cost. And we realize that that's the cost. And if that's the only alternative, then let it be. Let Akua show us the way, what we need to do to remedy the desecration forever. So mahalo no kako, allow me to testify. Thank you.
Aloha.
Mahalo nui loa e ke au moku kapu and to your ohana for being steadfast there on Maui. We appreciate you. Mahalo.
Okay. Mahalo.
The next three testifiers will be, let me look one more time, Kalamai. Roslyn is next, and then Gail and Rupert. So Roslyn, are you available to testify, dear? Yes.
Aloha, mahalo anui, everyone, again, for allowing me to testify. This is public notice. You know, I just want to make it aware that I have also tried to remedy and make things as civil as possible. I had a personal meeting with SHPD here on Kauai, the cultural site person, and we talked about all of what I know about 18 different sites here. Kukona is located in Makuhuena development upcoming. There is Kamakahele and Akahikawalu, Darchumehume. Back in 2015, there was an email that went on the back end in Oha, and apparently it just kind of disappeared. But he was the one that they found in the Ba'a. One of the workers came forward and said that they poured concrete inside to cover him up, and there's a development coming up. Just so happened, the same realtor that was standing there when I found out it was Darchumehume was the same one I got arrested for trespassing on my own kupuna aina. And so I believe in Io and everything is guided. I don't have any hate. I just have a lot of what you hear is not actually passion. That is trauma. And I have 7 children. I couldn't have kids. But everything is about manava from the past and the present for the future. How do I know these things? Because kupuna come to me. Now, Kamakahele came forward to me and told me that where her burial is, there's caverns that go far and go deep. And it ties to Maweke, La Makahiki. We all come from them. The oldest burial that I know, and I came forward with the Department of Forestry to notify them not to put up the fence lines in Honopu, is the Ie Kawai. She's 8,000 years old, and she is in Honopu, amongst the giants of burials. My family grew up in Nualolo. I've seen giants, burials, ba'as in caves, high up, 2,000-3,000 feet up. Now, Kukuiula is not just it. The 25 acres of Palikua is, and this is all paperwork that I have submitted to make sure that SHPD, because the county of Kauai told me the only person that can pull a permit is SHPD. SHPD sat on my paperwork for months until I sent out a notification stating, look, I have the mail postage stamp. You guys need to hurry up and get on board. The only way they replied was through threats. How can that be possible? Now we also have Koloa Village that is upcoming. The only cave that is in existence that you can walk into that heads up into Haupu Mountain. Everything else is desecrated or underground in the water. in that is where Nakuoko'o, Hayak, no, sorry, Kalamai, I have so much of them coming forward. Hinamai Kalani, Kavelo Makalua. These are all well-known people in our Mo'okua hau. I have come forward and I again have been denied a cultural descendant, lineal descendant. Now we go up to Po'oku, unknown heiau, where Manokanipo is buried. How did we decide that a small area is a buffer zone for a heiau on a 200-acre parcel that we practice lua? We had now, there's a lot of history to that. Manokalanipo is very well known because he reestablished our Apua systems. His father, Kukona, there was a large war that happened. And all of these burials tied to these warriors, I believe it's not fair to them. Now, Veke Road, real quick, Veke Road now. We are out there and find out SHPD gave permission to the developer to continue after the first supposed inadvertent find. Kamohole Lani was a second. The third was Kahaku Makalina, and the fourth was Hayaka Mayo, the vahine of Ahukinialaa. These are very well-known kupuna, alongside 90 different burials that surround this property. So please, please do your due diligence. Mahalo.
Mahalo nui loa e Rosalind for your mana'o. Next, we have Gail. Gail Kuule Perez.
Aloha, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, dear, we can hear you fine. Thank you.
Mahalo for letting me say something. I am a kupuna, a co-founder of the Kupuna Council of Kohala, the Ahahui Punohu Ula o Kohala, na Kupuna Council. I'm one of the co-founders. And all the kupunas on this council, they consist of cultural practitioners, la'au la'pa'au, and genealogists. And the reason why I had gathered these kupunas and practitioners together to protect our Iwi kupuna in this community. And these are all family who are genealogically connected to the Iwi kupuna. Here in Kohala, we decided to stay. We went all over and tried to protect everywhere, working together with Shipti. And I like to say that I am very appalled at hearing a lot of things that had happened with others, and especially Kauai, you know, because Kauai, I was 55 years ago that I first went to Kauai as a 14-year-old girl, and it's so beautiful, and everything was all right. You know, there was no heavy desecration going on, like not like today. And it's so sad to see that this is happening. And now we have our younger generations who are called and coming up. And I am so happy that they are in connection with the kupuna and hearing their voices and getting direction. So, you know, I truly believe in that. I have done that with, you know, going to Shipti, and they were respectful of that. The council that I spoke to today, I don't know what's happening. Yeah, ever since after, well, before the pandemic, I put in a registration form for Iwi Kupuna in Kohala that had come up. That was last year, almost the beginning of the year. Until today, I have not heard nothing on it. You know, so I am, you know, you try to call, you can't really get anybody. You know, I've had to call Dual Care at one time to come and speak to one of the private owners because they think they own the land, and they say that they're going to flatten the graves. And, you know, so there's threats made of that. And so we as kupuna now, we have to go over there physically and, you know, stop such actions because we call Dual Care, which is like kind of too much, you know, because they come with guns. Yeah. Why don't they come when the big desecration is happening and you call on them? I don't understand that, but I have not seen the plan, but I definitely would like to. I just was told about this meeting before it happened, and I was here to hear, and I'm glad I came and listened to everyone, and I'm really happy who's on board, and I really aloha all of you, and I wants to do whatever I can do or what we can do as a Kupuna Council in Kohala. Mahalo.
Mahalo, Anake, for your mana'o. Okay, We're coming to the end. Do we have anyone else to testify? Please put in the chat that you would like to testify. We have Rupert. Rupert, are you available, Rupert?
Yeah.
Okay, Rupert, you have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Okay, on every island, we have the same problem. A problem we have is identity. And in our language, there's no such person as a Hawaiian. We are identified as Kanaka Maoli. So when we're talking about lineal and cultural descendants, we know that those are Kanaka Maoli. So why shouldn't we be called who we are and take this case to the state Supreme Court immediately? So the desecration of our past will come to a complete stop. All cultural sites belong to the Kanaka Maoli and not the government. So if the government put a tax map key on a culture site, then it identifies that culture site as an owner. The owner is the Kanaka.
Right.
Not the county and not the state. So in my heia, which I take care at Kaneohe Uma, we did two things. We had a three dimension of the heiau. We're the only group that went out there and challenged the state archaeologists by having the three dimension. The person who did that for us did Machu Picchu. So everything goes back to identity. So identity is the key for who we are, because all the arguments on every island is based on identity. There's no such thing as an inadvertent fine. That's nonsense. The time has come for us to stand up and be properly identified as Kanakas, not Hawaiian. Hawaiian, measure yourselves by blood quantum. So that's not the way to register your identity. You had an identity prior to statehood. After statehood, we all came Hawaiian. As a kapuna, I'm already in my 80s. I know that the battle to be free is identity. And only through this identity, we have the right to anything, whether the culture site, whether it's about economics, it's about commerce, it's all about identity. So let us all focus so that we can be properly identified. And hell with the state. They don't have no plan. They'll never have a plan because they're using the blood quantum to disrupt our mentality. But our mentality, every one of you on this meeting, call yourselves Kanaka. And if you call yourself Kanaka, how come you're not Kanaka? That's the question. So the question to Shifty is identify us properly. Whether it's a culture monitor, that guys are paid off by the developer. We got these stuffs on Kauai. And all the young people of Kauai, we all know the battlefield. 30 years ago, I was fighting a place in Koloa. But I decided to stay with Kaneohe Heiau because it gave us an identity. And through this identity, I believe every single one of you on every island has an identity. And it sure ain't Hawaiian. Let's clear the air once and for all. So the burial council was created in 1986. The crime is still going on right now because we don't have an identity. If you identify yourself as a Kanaka, you think the state can deny you that right? So, as time gets close, I'm thankful that I made an appearance and I support every one of you. But remember, our identity is our key to freedom and it's not a blood quantum. Aloha to all of you out there.
Mahalo, Uncle Rupert, for your mana'o. Mahalo, Nui.
Mahalo.
We are finished with testimony. Is there anyone else that wants to testify? Please put your name in the chat for first and last name, and if not, I will turn it over to Dr. Luthi once more.
Auntie Kapua wanted to speak again, so she may testify, and then if anyone else wants an opportunity to speak, we are going to finish at 8, but I will be notifying everybody who came today who provided information about the timing of the next meeting well in advance, and please do feel free to submit any written testimony or any questions, comments, concerns to the email address provided, and I will do my best to give you an answer, direct you to someone who can. And all right.
All right, we had one more person to testify? Kapua, okay, Kapua.
Yes, hi, mahalo.
Yes.
For giving me another opportunity. Earlier I spoke on Ibi Kupuna, because that is dear to my heart and it is the most emergency I can see at the moment. But we have many other emergencies. And I just want to mention these things. I'm not sure if, I'm sorry, somebody else on?
Anything we do.
Uncle Rupert, Uncle Rupert, can you mute your, mahalo. Okay, sorry, Kapua,
go ahead. No worries, Ali Pilikia. So I just wanted to mention these other things that also need to be taken care of. And I'm not sure if this falls under the SHPD umbrella. Not only Ibi Kupuna protection and protocol, but also historical site protections. We have sites on Oahu that are being vandalized by tourism and over tourism, as well as our own Kanaka that do not know. Because like Uncle Rupert said, the identity is a problem. People don't know how sacred these places are. Protection and safety for many of our shorelines and our parks and our beaches. We get over commercialism, over tourism, off-roading, bonfires, large rager events, protection of our forests and our uplands from invasive species, protection of our waters, wells, our springs, our streams, our rivers, our lakes, and our oceans from pollutants, as well as polluters and diverters and profiteers. All of those things are something that I would like to know if those fall within the SHPD protections. And I would like to see that some of these places get taken care of, especially historical sites that are being vandalized. Mahalo.
Mahalo nui e kapua for your mana. Are there any other people that want to testify? Could you please put your request in the chat? If not, I will turn it over back to Dr. Luthi. Do we have anyone else in the chat, Dr. Tamara?
I do not see anyone at the moment. Okay, Lucienne would like to continue to testify as there's additional time.
Okay. Lucienne, please, we are calling you to testify.
Okay.
So thank you.
Mahalo. I am so moved by hearing that the same problems that we have here on Maui are on Kauai and the Big Island and Waimanalo. You know, this idea that there are inadvertent burials is just a polite fiction. In most places, in my experience from the kupuna that have shared their mana'o, you know, during meetings and during just, you know, taking walks on the land, the areas that hold burials are known. They are traditional burial places. And oftentimes they are on maps even. And yet again and again, we see this fictional episode where someone comes in and says, oh, there's nothing here. And then you go and the machines start working and there's 3 burials and then there's 5 burials and then there's 8 burials and then there's 12 burials. And these folks were told in advance, don't don't use your machinery there, don't develop this area. What can Shipti do? It's like, how can it the program be shifted so that people having knowledge are listened to? I've sat there and had descendants of the area tell people not to disturb this area. And, you know, 20, 30, 40 burials later, they're just crying. They tried. There just has to be a better way. And if we can't see that in this plan, we might as well just give up and go home, because that's just the basics. And also the idea that we have these skimpy buffers around important site complexes too. I spoke to the landscape features in someone's yard. That's what it results in. But you have areas that really should be given tremendous respect. And even if the buffers are sometimes 50 feet, the houses can loom up so large that you're basically just being stared at by someone's mansion. So really, we need State Historic to be practical as well as just, you know, following the T's and the I's and, you know, putting the periods at the ends of things and envision how these preservation areas are going to look and just ask for more. And if we need to expand our laws, we need to know that so that we can ask for more. But what's happening now, you have unqualified archaeologists, you have unqualified monitors, and you have all these poor, hardworking Kanaka giving of their time. They should be with their families to try to pass something on for the sake of their ancestors. So mahalo for listening to me.
Mahalo, thank you for testifying again.
Next, we have Liz Okinaka. And then if anyone else would like to testify, go ahead and drop it in the chat.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, mahalo for giving me another opportunity. I think it's really important for us to state these concerns publicly and make them, you know, public for the record. I wanted to speak specifically on Koloa on the island of Kauai. I personally, for the past year, have watched a historical site have multiple heavy machinery come in. Even after lineal descent forms were filed, I've personally walked the site with Shipti, with DLNR, and still this developer with permits that are 15 years old and an EIS that is from 1978, they are allowed to move forward with this development. It's the same area where three burial caves have been collapsed and destroyed, and now only multi-million dollar homes are visible. The Koloa Cave ecosystem is considered to be one of the 10 most endangered cave ecosystems in the world, and it is home to two endangered species that are found nowhere else. Cultural Surveys Hawaii has also claimed to complete a new survey that is completely inadequate. There's clear conflicts of interest within Kauai Shipti, DLNR, and the Kauai Burial Council. So we're just calling on you guys, you know, we're please asking you to help fix this broken system. I think a good way to restore the trust would be, how about like a full audit of all recently disturbed burials, plans for reinterment, a log of all currently displaced iwi kupuna who are still sitting in storage shelves. And I think that would be a great way to be more open with the community and make and just try to involve us more. So mahalo for the opportunity to speak again. Aloha.
Mahalo, Nui.
Is there anyone else who would like to testify? We've still got about 15 minutes. And you know, we really appreciate everything that everyone has shared here today. Yes, thank you so much. And we do try to understand and acknowledge that there's a lot of historical trauma that is ongoing. And we know that these are extremely sensitive issues, and we're gonna do our best that we can within our own personal capacities to ensure that we faithfully record everything that's been said here today and that will be said at future meetings and integrate that into the plan and send it on. So yeah, if anyone else has anything to say, if not, we can go ahead and wrap up early and I can notify everyone of the next meeting as soon as we get that scheduled. I'm gonna leave the chat open for a few more minutes. I'm not sure if Rosalyn and Elizabeth's hands are up because they wish to provide additional testimony. Okay,
actually, yeah, I would like to. So I wanted to ask, how is it that when we're out at Vecchia Road for 21 days sifting through over six tons of sand, there was no presence of SHPD or Burial Council? The developer stated that SHPD on the first supposed inadvertent said to continue construction as long as they cover the infant child with concrete and put no trespassing on top. That was what their plan was. And then we told them we weren't okay with them sifting the sand with machines because that would be damaging to the bones. And I guess apparently SHPD or Burial Council or someone made the decision that a cultural monitor could decide on that. So they went against our voices. And then also after we told them that the septic system, even if it's like a 90% chance of it processing clear water out, it's directly in alignment of all the burials. Like all the burials is in the septic system. Now, while we were there in the 21 days, there was three times that we had people come with bones inside trash bags and bags coming and asking us if we could have them buried inside this plot. When we asked them how come they never reported it, is because they were told throughout the community of construction workers that if you report these burials, they're gonna stop construction. So it's best for them to take care of it on their own. One of the bones were hanged up on a tree for months, maybe even a year. The owners didn't want nothing to do with them. And I came out and told them, how is it possible you can come and remove them? Think about it. They probably buried with their family. And you're okay with that? But I want my swimming pool, that's why. So I believe if SHPD and the Burial Council, or you know, if they were out there, the presence, you know, let's think about the position, okay? State of Hawaii is under the federal government. And we all know through unlawful occupation, this is all happening. But the state of Hawaii creates, right? Because you cannot have a government without its people. And, you know, you look at the terms when you take up a state position or a position with the government, you're now considered an officer. And as you know, you're not a kaua or servant, but you're in public service. And public in Black's law is considered community, state, you know, it's all everybody. And so when it come down to it, you know, the presence and the accountability to me is so important. And then I feel discriminated because here we have known kanakas standing next to us saying, yeah, go ahead. And you know, what's very interesting was when we were sifting through the sand, men, women, and children now, the youngest four-year-old, two four-year-olds, our kids was running around. They was, bones was rolling down the sand pile. And then we even had them reporting that there wasn't any bones being found. And I just figured it out was maybe because they never like get charged for every piece of bone that was in that pile. Because, you know, even though they hire these archaeologists, you know, like I said, they're not 100% sure that there's no bones in those piles. But again, how come SHPD never show up? So then when we called SHPD down in Koloa, now this, we're talking about every single month from January, November, December, we got so much cracks, we never even like show up. People calling us, we didn't even go out. We were so exhausted. We caught cracks over here on Kauai. And so at the end of the day, we coming out in these meetings, and every site we came out on, never seen not one SHPD representative, not one Burial Council member, OHA, not one person we spoke to at OHA, not one person we could speak to at SHPD. I actually had one girl call me from Hilo. But when you call SHPD, you cannot get through. Emails, I'm blocked from you guys. How come? You know, I'm trying to figure out what's accountability. And so Koloa, when DLNR came down and David Buckley came, after they did the whole walkthrough, 1 month went by, we asked them for the report. You know what they told us? They said, oh, that's private land. State has no jurisdiction over private land. So I actually agree with Uncle Guys. we need to probably create a class action lawsuit. This is power already. We beyond all of this. But I am malama all of you guys, and I appreciate all of you guys who are here being present and allowing us to speak. But I mean, I can go on and on and on for these, because this is every single burial site. And it's not just burials. Our kupuna is buried by heiaus, by ahus. They're buried by their people. The ali'i, you always going to be amongst their people. You always going to have warriors around the ali'is, and then you're going to have the villagers. They always, even in debt, take care of their people. And you know what's interesting is, Kamaholelani is an ali'i. He didn't care about his bones as much as he did of Hayaka Mayo, because this is her hand. The pepe was in her hand. They grabbed her, took her out like this, hid it, the hand with the bebe in the room. Thursday, we did the walkthrough. Friday, we did Ho'oponopono. Monday came, I had to leave because I wanted to pound people out, because they kept telling us, there's no bones. 10 minutes later, my ho'aloha come out. And what she said, Kupuna told me, mana mana lima. Kupuna had bones rolling down the sand in front of the archaeologist to prove. Then archaeologist 10 minutes later, I'm so sorry, bones in the house. Spiritually, we know, yeah, Kaniela? Because the birds was flying underneath the house to the kane, showing the kane where the bones was. You cannot discredit these things. So to me, when you take a public position, you have to be willing to accept the kuleana. Mahalo.
Mahalo so much.
Mahalo.
I wanted to also note that Jody Green wishes to testify, and then maybe, I'm not sure if Kaʻiulani also was asking to testify. If so, then after Jody, you can go ahead.
Hello, my name is Jody Green. We fought to save Hunananiho or Sherwood Forest. And even though it is federally recognized on the historic registry as an important site, even though it is recognized with numerous state, city, by everybody, we still had the same thing. It's very sad what we're hearing about all around the state. It's just heartbreaking. But we also experienced it here with the unqualified archaeologists and the just the go ahead and ignoring, and it was horrible. I think that from what I'm hearing, it's if it's a new decade, if you guys are going to start, maybe it's time to start protecting the land instead of the developers are always going to have money, and they're always going to be after places in Hawaii, and they're always going to be after Hunananiho, which is Sherwood Forest, where they're still trying to come in and build condos and whatnot. Maybe in the future, just because of all the heartbreak and the heva, the things that have been done the wrong way, you folks try to do more protecting, and things could be better for everybody, because our resources are not going to be able to keep supporting development and more development, and it's just not possible. So it's up to institutions like you folks to do a better job in the future, and just somebody's got to just say no to the almighty dollar, because we just don't have that much left to be stolen and taken and abused and concreted and desecrated. You know, I don't know what to do about Hunananiho. It's got all these protections, but it's still under attack. It was with the archaeology data, presumed or possibly one of the first landing spots of all the Hawaiians. The archaeologists found artifacts dating that far back. So this is a very historically important place for Hawaiians, and it's still under, it's still in danger. And at some point, the money has got to, it's just not enough. There's never enough money for what's barely left of the state of Hawaii. Just try to do a better job, please. We're tired, and the next generation is going to have to step up and fight, and they will, but maybe they wouldn't have to fight so much if people just did the right thing and a little bit more protecting, especially these important historical places that seem to have no protection at all. We're under attack, and it's got to stop at some point. Why not make it now? Try to do better, please, because it's just horrifying to hear these stories. Mahalo for letting me speak. Aloha. Right.
Well, I just really wanted to mahalo everybody who came today, particularly those who came and testified, and everyone who stuck to the bitter end, and really thank you everybody for sharing what you've shared today. We will be having additional meetings, and I would love to have this be more of a conversation format too. If you know, we have some people who want to come again next time, if you can always go ahead and RSVP to testify in advance. And yes, I do really appreciate everything that everyone has said today. If someone would like to maybe offer some thoughts before we close today.
Anyone up for that? Okay. Uhola ia kamakaloala pua ike alohala kuka ia kahaloala pavehi maina lehua mai ka hooku ia ka hala vaila mahalo e na akua mahalo e na kupuna la ea mahalo me ke aloha mahalo me ke aloha mahalo.
Mahalo, Ahuiho.
Mahalo.
Mahalo.
Ala mai a oko.
Mahalo.
Thank you for all of your mana'o, for all of your thoughts. Everyone take care. Go home safely. Be with your families. Be well. Mahalo.
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 I need to turn it off.